Okay, I'm sorry about that, folks. I just had a phone call that I just could not shake. It was a good call, too, by the way. Anyway, any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call K2BAR. Okay, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is W2TTT, your belated, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, this is your net control, W2TTT. My name is Gordon. I apologize for the tardiness. We had a little opportunity to spread some Aries word tonight, and it just took another minute or two or three that I would have liked, but it was also a pleasant conversation, even in its extended form. So, the TechNet is about amateur radio. You, as an amateur radio operator licensed to transmit on a 2-meter band, are welcome to participate. You need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, but you do need to be licensed appropriately to transmit in this band. Any subject related to amateur radio, or should we say radio electronics technology or implementation or whatever related to amateur radio and those allied fields, is fair game for conversation in this net. Net format is a little different than most. We take a roll call. We ask you to sign in with your name, or maybe the call sign, your name, and then whether or not you have a question or a comment. You could also say none, no comment, no question. That's fine as well. We write all those down, and then we pick through the list, interspersing a few club announcements and general announcements about other things going on in the amateur radio community. Again, you need not be shy. There is no dumb question. We have a wonderfully diverse field of amateur radio to discuss, and we can spend the next hour or so, maybe two even, discussing it. So we hope you will participate by, first of all, signing in, even if you don't have a question or a comment. So, we will start the check-ins with call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment with the Kilo stations. We'll start with the Kilo stations. What the heck? This is K2BAR.
Kilo Charlie 2 Alpha Whiskey X-ray. The name's Harvey.
Questions, comments, confusions, Harvey? Good evening.
Good evening. No questions, no traffic, no comments, nothing. Just listening.
Boy, one big zero. Okay, no problem, Harvey. Any other Kilo stations, call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
Kilo, this is Little Oscar. Jim, no comments. Okay, no questions, just listen.
Comments or questions at this time?
Okay, I got two. I have K2ZO with no questions or comment, and KC2PYB with no questions or comment. Good evening to you both, gentlemen. All right, any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
This is Stuart, KC2SQP. No comments, just listening.
Hi, Stuart. Real quick, you are an STUART, Stuart, right?
Affirmative.
Thank you, no problem. All right, so we have four. We have Harvey, Jim, Richard, and Stuart. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KC2SGS, Rachel.
Okay, KC2SDF. Good evening, Rachel. And let's see. Any questions or comments from you?
Not at this time.
Okie doke. Any other stations with Kilo calls, please call K2BAR.
This is KO2OK. No question.
Hey, just the name. I have a question.
Okay, I have KO2OK Bennett. No questions or comments. KA2BDU Helmut. I don't know if whether you have a question or comment. Do you?
Do I have a question?
Okay, so noted. Okay, any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
K2GCL, repeater.
KC2KXV, Vinny, question.
wondering when you're going to check in, because I heard you before. Hi, Vinny, KC2KXV, with a question. Good. With two questions so far. Excellent. Any other Kilo stations, please call KTBAR.
K2DSL, David, no question.
Hey, David. No problem, KTDSL. Good evening to you as well. And any other Kilo stations, please call KTBAR. Okay, November stations, please. Name, call sign name and whether or not you have a question or a comment, please call KTBAR.
KC2SKL, Kelly, no questions, no comments.
Hi, Kelly. Very good. Any other stations, November or Kilos?
N3CRT, Charlie, no questions.
I can't have ice cream, but I have a reason to rendezvous with you later, I understand. Good evening, Charlie. Welcome back from your excursion to the north. I think you said no questions or comments. All righty. Any other November stations, please call K2BAR.
NS2K, Jim, no questions.
Well, you're over-modulating big time. NS2K, who also jingle-jangled my phone as I was starting the net. Thank you, Jim, for possibly calling me anyway. Was that no question?
That's correct. No question at this point.
Okay, thank you for the call anyway. Any other November stations, please call K2BAR. Okay, Whiskey stations, please call K2BAR.
WHSCAI Mobile. Name's Tom. Good afternoon. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Thomas. Do you have questions or comments for the night?
Information. Some people were looking for a supplier of aluminum tubes. I found the information, although I don't have it in my hand right now, but if the guys will send me an email, I'll drop it in the mail to them.
Okay, since you're mobile, I'll take that information. Your call sign at?
Negative. Thomas C. Gilbert at Verizon.net.
Thomas C. Gilbert. Are there no punctuation?
No spaces, no punctuation.
Okay, so noted. Thomas C. Gilbert at Verizon.net. For those who wish to have an aluminum supply. Very good, thank you. Maybe, Charlie, you can record that on the website. That'd be very good. Which is Ning. Was it Barra.ning.net, if I remember right. Hopefully I got that right. That was pretty cool. And encourage all members of the net to check into that and sign up and become members so we can, you know, post goodies back and forth related to the technical aspects of the hobby. Any other Whiskey stations, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
This is W2JEK, none, no questions.
W2JEK, good evening, Don. Thank you very much. Any other Whiskey stations? Somebody there who's trying to get in again, please. All right, guess not. All right. Any Alpha stations, please call KTBAR. There's a station there with a really weak signal, and I'm just not getting you.
Whiskey India, 2 Whiskey, Steve, with a question.
Wow, that was the first time you got it right. Okay, W-I-2-W-W-2-T-T-T. Very good, Steve. I got your question. Back to you with a question. All right, anybody else?
W-2-D-T-A.
W-2-D-T-A. You're not exactly something to write home about either.
How are you sleeping tonight?
Oh, is that it? Okay. All right, well, welcome aboard. Do you have a question or a comment?
Negative, just listen.
Thank you for checking in. Anybody else? K2BAR. Okay, any stations I might have missed or didn't check in yet, please call K2BAR. Okay, we have a nice check-in list here. Alrighty, so I think the first order of business, I think because of the signal strength, I'm going to go to Steve first. WITW, your question, please. K2BAR.
Okay, this should be better. I went downstairs to the shack. Thanks for picking me up first. I have been looking for a boom-to-mast bracket for the Barra Field Day crew to put our TA-33 on the mast. And the kind of bracket I'm looking for has a hinge built into it so that as you lower the antenna, you lower the tower, the antenna stays parallel with the ground. And we thought that DX Engineering had them, but I've done a reasonable Google search and hit all the popular sites, and I can't seem to locate that bracket. So if anybody has a lead on where we might get one, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a really good thing. Did you try IXX?
No, I didn't. You want to give me that info?
Or is it IIX? I'm trying to remember. Let's see. Maybe it's IXX. I don't know. Let me go look. Hold on.
Question. It's about this W2JK.
Go ahead, Don.
They had one on the 7 element 6 meter beam up at the VHF contest. Now, I don't know who made it, but it might get a name. I don't know who owns that beam either. Might get the name from that beam, whoever owns that.
Well, Don, that happens to be my beam. It was a used purchase at AmFest. I don't know who the manufacturer of the bracket is, and it's currently buried in the Barra garage, so until we get up there to have a look-see, I don't know if there's any markings on it.
You know, I remember looking at that and not recalling any.
I would confirm no markings, NS2K.
I'm not crazy. Well, I may be, but I'm as crazy as Jim. The IXX equipment is what we want to look for. I think. Oh, maybe not. Stand by. IXX equipment makes antennas, apparently. The other one might be Glenn Martin Engineering.
All right, I'll check both of those sites. If anybody has any further info as that progresses, please pass it on. Thanks, WI2W.
Okay, I'm coming up with, when I did a search from the QRZ site, I found them, but unfortunately they can't, the site in question doesn't seem to be very helpful. If you go to qrz/i/commercial.html, you'll see a long list of manufacturers and vendors of amateur radio related goodies.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's qrz.com/i/commercial, all lowercase, .html. That should give you a good start on some of those things. I think Glenn Martin Engineering is on the list, so. And that's a good thing as well. All right. Case closed. Anybody else have any more on that subject? So be it. All right. Next one, Helmut, KA2BDU. Your question, sir.
KA2BDU. Yes, for underwater reception or transmission, which would be more advantageous? To have a horizontal or vertical antenna. Over.
I'm trying to remember what I saw. I'm going to assume horizontal.
K2GCL repeater.
I'm going to go to my resident panel of experts who are all named Jim in this case. K2ZO first.
Okay, K2BAR, K2ZO. I don't know the real answer to that question, and I think it depends on frequency. I know that the U.S. Navy submarines have a trailing wire type
antenna that they tow behind the boat. Well, they're just, at near the surface but submerged, and they use that for low frequency communication. And it's a pretty long piece of wire that comes out the back. Back to that.
Yeah, as you said, because of the frequencies involved, they are quite the length. Now, I just looked at Glenn Martin Engineering site, by the way, and I'm not seeing. They say mast clamps, but I don't see any clamps. I see some thrust bearings, but no clamps.
Okay.
Alrighty, well, that's pretty good. Anybody else have any comments about Helmut's question? And then I'm okay.
WHSCAI.
Yeah, Tom?
Just a wild guess. Depends on whether you want to communicate out of the water or in the water. I would say horizontal would probably be appropriate for communications out of the water. No, vertical would be appropriate for communications out of the water.
That was kind of where I was going, and that just may be a practical necessity, but I think you got the right idea.
I'm thinking of penetrating the different thermal layers in the ocean. If you're horizontal, every thermal differential layer would probably reflect the signal back into the water, and nothing would go to the surface and out.
Yep, I would think so. And similarly, if you can poke a wire or a rod up above the water, shucks you have the ultimate ground plane called the ocean, and you've got your vertical radiator. I think the rest is obvious. Okay, well, with that in mind, anybody else have any comments?
Mr. K.
Question, which I believe is Mr. KXV's. I just want to see if Helmut has any follow-ons you'd like to make.
It would be on the 50 megahertz range, and also I don't intend to go deeper than maybe 3 meters, and it wouldn't be in salt water, it would be in fresh water, and it would be from the transmitter would be above the surface, and the receiver would be below the surface. Thank you, gentlemen.
Just an observation, Helmut. Is there a way you could make a recording receiver that you would just put into, a waterproof container? It does not have to be one of your famous radio control things. Toss it 3 meters into the water, but out a ways from the shore a bit, so you minimize the ground effects. And then just take frequency strength, signal strength measurements like that as you move around. Or more importantly, could you just drop a transmitter in the ground, in the water, and then maybe with some sort of bobber to make it vertical versus another one that would be horizontal, and run comparative tests on what you receive on the shore.
Or I could train the bird and see to which frequency he would respond best.
Well, I suppose you could do that too. But I'm thinking that if you can take a test transmitter and throw it into the water one time with a bobber holding the antenna vertically, and then another time holding it horizontally, just letting it sit on the ground inside the body of water, it would probably be a useful thing. You wouldn't need actually a submarine to do that, or you could just do that with some sort of, submersible can that you just chuck into the bottom of the body of water with some ballast and just, haul it back with some sturdy rope.
Not just an antenna, a long piece of coax with a weight to bring it to the bottom.
Thanks, Daniel.
Yeah, who is the station with the suggestion for helmet?
Why not just an antenna at the end of a long piece of coax thrown into the pond? I'd suggest a duck pond since those people are very sensitive of weird activities. Put a hook on it, throw it into the lake, and transmit into it or receive from it, and then use your remote control transmitter to see if you receive it, vertical or horizontal.
Okay, thank you.
Okie doke, well, glad to be of help, moment, and get a couple of good ideas. Hopefully you'll report back to us on what you did and what you discovered. Alrighty. Before we go to Mr. Vinny, are there any other check-ins for the net? This is K2BAR.
K2BAR? K2SNR, my name is Mike.
Okay, K2SNR, Mike. Nice to see you. Mike, what is your... do you have a question or comment for the net?
No questions or comments this evening. Just checking in. I got in a little bit late. Check in and see what's up this evening.
Well, nice of you to join us. Okay. Very good. Let's see. Who else? Any other stations wishing to check in, please call QTBAR. Okay. Well, then we're going to go to Vinny's question. KC2KXV. This is KTBAR. Good evening, Vinny.
K2BAR and everybody on the net. Nice to be here tonight, and it's not snowing. Here's my question. I've been doing some experiments on single sideband on 20 meters, especially with remote stations, and I found I have a very linear microphone that'll go down to about 60 hertz. And between 60 and 250 hertz, this is the lower end of the band, I've been sliding the 2.8 kilohertz band for audio up and down the single sideband, if you know what I mean, up to 3. And I find that I really get a tax on power. Let me see if I'm over, if I'm too long here. I'm really getting a tax on power when I'm below, when I'm really putting some energy in below 200 hertz on the microphone. It's very linear. So my question is there a common wisdom on how much low end you should have on single sideband, not from the point of DXing, but in terms of taxing the transmitter? And does it indeed tax the transmitter when you've got audio bandwidth below, let's say, from 60 hertz to 250 hertz?
Well, the wider your envelope, and assuming you have uniform, you know, amplitude input, there's going to be more load on the transmitter. Because you're going to, you know, you look at the area under the curve. I mean, with all due respect, I seem to remember you took integral calculus. You know this. Grin. I'm busting you now. But I'm going to defer to others to answer this question. Anybody wish to take a whack at it? Please call K2BAR.
W2JEK.
First one, Don, W2JEK. How can you help me?
Well, you think about what we're doing here with the Comedus. We're on here with an FM transmission, and we are also simultaneously have a 141.3 DL tone coming out, and this is voice message itself. I mean, you don't have to go below 300 hertz in one case. So you could, you know, have a bandwidth from, I'd say, 300 to 2700 hertz for the actual voice message. Frequencies above that and below that aren't really required unless you're into hi-fi.
L repeater.
Yeah, let me ask a question, Vinny. Why are you worried about taxing your transmitter?
Now, it's probably not a good way to put it. I'm borrowing a very expensive Sennheiser broadcast mic, and I am playing with hi-fi single sideband, so it's ESSB, and I have been experimenting to see, you know, what an optimal signal will be on single sideband, and I've been doing some remote tests with stations, and that bandwidth just below 300 hertz down to about 60, there's a cutoff point where it seems to clarify the audio, and I'm actually getting, you know, the maximum envelope out, obviously, but I was just wondering, you know, your experiences in cutting off the low end, especially in the context of extended single sideband.
Well, it really depends on my mood. Let me see what I've got mine set up for now. I actually don't cut off anything below 100 hertz. In fact, I'm just looking at my profiles. I've got a 2.4 high, and a 100 kilohertz, probably 100 hertz low-end cutoff. I've got a 2.1 with a 75 hertz cutoff. I've got a 1.8 with a 100 hertz cutoff. It depends. For conversation, I use the 2.4, and for the for DXing, I use 2.1 with a 75. So I actually add a little more low when I cut the top 300 hertz off.
Roger. No, it's probably not a great question, but it's just more worth the experience. I'm sure you have more experience than I do, but I'm spending just a lot of time with some of the stations out there with whiz-bang receivers that record your audio and send it back to you, and I just noticed just a lot of unintelligibility when there's more energy below between 60 and about 175 to 200 hertz.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of intelligibility. Personally, I think you're fine. I'm not worried about damaging your equipment. Anybody else want to take a whack at this? This is KTBAR. I'm appalled that K2ZO doesn't have a comment about audio.
Well, I do, but I'm not going to say anything right now.
Oh, you're killing us. What, you don't want to sit there and question his Sennheiser toy?
No, I'm just jealous. Well, one of the things that you do find out is that it is very true, if you use a scope and monitor your signal, that you are dumping a lot more energy at the lower frequencies than you are at the higher frequencies. But it's nice to have a blend of both. You know, when you take the lower frequencies off, everybody sounds the same. Donald Duck. The lower frequencies are what make us understand each other and recognize each other's voice. Of course, as we get older, we hear lower frequencies better than we get the higher frequencies. Although most of the modern radios do tend to knock the lower frequencies off. You know who used to know this was George W2GHB, who explained to me one time how they ran single sideband on telephone lines and how the low frequencies ate up all their power.
Absolutely.
Bingo. Yeah, this is exactly what I was wondering. This is exactly the advice I was looking for, because that's what I'm beginning to sense. It's not my microphone. I borrowed it from my neighbor, who happens to be down the block a couple of miles, Sally Jesse Raphael, who you remember started in radio and went on TV. And it's kind of a $450 microphone, but it's almost flat down to about 50 hertz. And it's fun to play with, and I have to give it back. And net-net, once I've got the thing EQ'd so it sounds good, it's indistinguishable from an SM8.
So why go to all that trouble so you can sound like an SM8?
Roger, that's the point. It you know, after you go through everything and you wind up tweaking it down and listening to those far stations and taking the bass out, it sounds just like an SM8. So it's nothing that I want to keep or buy, but it's just an interesting thought. I think the last comment on putting energy in the low is probably what I've been experiencing, you know, loading it up. So I'm gratified with the answer.
You see, if you had a Pro 3, you'd be looking at your special envelope, but you'd know that.
Roger, no, that's exactly right.
Boston video, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Ah, dearie. But you like your 746 Pro, right?
But I'm waiting for you to sell your Pro 3 so I can buy yours when you're off buying something else that might come along.
I don't think that's going to happen, Bucko, but thank you. Okay. Oh, dear me, there's some good nature jiving going back and forth here. All right, any other questions about intelligibility and bandwidth and such like that? Okay. Well, any questions for the net, or any additional check-ins for us for the net? Additional check-ins at this time, please call KTBAR. Okay. Any other questions or comments for the net this time, please call KTBAR.
KTBAR, K20.
Mr. Jim, go right ahead.
Yeah, I had a couple of comments for Tony at ETA who had asked me about an amplifier he has. He has an AM494 Motorola amplifier, a pair of 4X150s, and I've been scratching my head since I worked on a couple of these for the repeater site many, many years ago, and we converted them, and I kind of had some notes here as to what we needed to do to get them up on 2 meters.
I'm all ears.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. All right, just a synopsis. The AM494, of course, is operating in Class C, and we kept it in Class C as an FAV amplifier. Tony, you probably end up having to put a regulated circuit on the screens and set it up for some more bias in order to operate it as a linear amplifier, if indeed that's what you want to do. But what we had to do to get it to work on 2 meters was pad it. Let me drop it a second. The reason is we could not get the plate to resonate. And if you remember the way that thing is made with the two parallel tubes, very like the old 1976 handbook amplifier. So what we did is Glenn and I actually took the capacitor out, the tuning capacitor, and put extra plates on it. We took an old one apart and actually made one with about a third more plates, which enabled us to get it to resonate. And that worked fine. The other thing we did was we put 4CX250s in it.
We have 150s?
Yeah, it had 150s. So we put 4CX250s in it. And we put a little circuit to it, balance it with a differential capacitor. I may have one of them still. And the other thing was that there was so much reactance on the input, we had to lengthen the loop on the input that coupled it. But if you want to do that, that'd be a nice little project for Kit 9 or something. But decide how you're going to run it. I assume you're going to run it in a linear amplifier. But that'll work fine. It just that it needs just a few little changes to make it work. Back to that K20.
Tony?
Yeah, Jim, I'm planning on running an AV, and I plan on putting 4CX250s in it. I'm scrounging parts down for a power supply, so I'm figuring I'm going to need about 2,500 volts at about a half a amp for those 250s. But yeah, I'll stop down on the kit night. I'll bring it with us, make some notes, and we'll see what we can do. I might be able to get a capacitor that will work without trying to build another one, although Holly building another one would be kind of neat.
Jim?
Yeah, the easy way to do that is, would be to pad the additional the capacitor. We had a master craftsman, that was Glenn, K2IZL, who searched around in his junk box and found an exact same capacitor and just took it apart and added additional plates on it so that it would then tune to the lower frequency of 2 meters, because this thing was set up for like a 150, 160. But I think a pattern across there would probably work just as well. He fixed a couple of picofarad. But it was an interesting project, and it worked quite well.
K2GCL, repeater.
Sorry, Jim, what I may do is I may give you a buzz and stop by and then come down to you and get my equipment. You can take some measurements.
Gordon, you have the cabinet for that amplifier sitting next to your house.
I used to have that cabinet. You talking about the green one?
Roger.
Yeah, I used to. I gave them away. Those are really good cabinets. I wish I still had them. What's really cool about them is that they're aluminum cabinets. They're TIG welded. And they had in the top four stainless inserts that were threaded that were stuck up above the top so that you could screw them into something to lift those modules up and also to bolt them to things on, or bolt things on top of them as well. I mean, you can do it either way. You can bolt a bracket or a lifting bracket or some other piece of equipment on top. It's very cool. I wish I had two of those in my truck now, but boy, that's all another matter. Okay. Let me move this on then. WI2W, I think I have a partial answer to your question, W2TTT. Okay, go ahead, Gordon. Or K2BAR, excuse me. Ready to copy? Yep. Okay. Italy Delta Charlie Technology, IDC Technology. Guy's name is Robin. R-O-B-I-N. He's Kilo 4, India Delta Charlie. His phone number is 615-301-1642. I'll repeat that. 615-301-1642. And he does aluminum welding and fabrication. I've actually done some business with him. I never really thought about his business. I knew he did stuff, but he might be able to provide you with that with the kind of thing you're looking for on a custom basis. And my guess is if there are a couple of us interested, you might want to just have him make, you know, X number and we'll just parcel them out.
Great, thanks for the information. I'll contact him tomorrow. KTBAR, WIQW.
Yeah, say hello for me. He'll probably remember my call. All right, very good. Any other questions, comments, confusions for the net, please call KTBAR.
Yeah, NS2K.
Ah, yes, the man from the telephone. NS2K. KTBAR.
Just checking to see if you were still alive. Anyway, now, actually I have a question for Steve, wondering if he got my note on the coax, that 83-242, and wondering if that would suit your need.
I did get the info. I didn't have a chance to look at it thoroughly, but if you want to bring me a couple of feet for the next kidnet, I'd appreciate that, Jim. Thanks.
Yeah, I have put aside a piece along with the specs, spec sheet on it. So, it is interesting. Yeah, double shielded, all silver plated is really quite nice.
I look forward to having a play, thanks.
Okie doke. Moving that right along, that's excellent. Anybody else with questions, comments, confusions for the net, please call K2BAR.
KC2KXV.
Okay, very good. Vinny, yours and then my question.
This is more like an observation. I see that the new extra class license pool is out. I'm wondering if anybody has analyzed it vis-a-vis the last pool and determined what direction or what interesting new things us hams should be learning about going forward.
That's a
a good homework assignment for somebody if we haven't gotten any progress on that. Don?
W2JDK, I don't have the either question pool. I generally don't bother with that. All I do is give the exams.
1 way to keep your nose clean.
Hey, 2AI.
Tony, go ahead.
Good evening, Gordon. I'm sorry I'm joining the net late, but I've been Elmering somebody who would like to take the extra class license before the changes. And one of the questions that even I couldn't find an answer or answer was, what is an MMIC? We know what a TTL device is, and you know what many of the other solid-state devices are, but what's an MMIC?
A MMIC? Oh. They are a micro-miniature integrated circuit, is that right? I think that's what it is. No, monolithic microwave integrated circuit. I just looked it up again. All the ones I thought of, you know, are microwave toys, so that makes sense. They're 300 megahertz to 300 gigahertz devices.
Okay, and these devices are multi-purpose, or are they amplifiers, or what are they?
Amplifiers, mixers, more complicated. They could be whole receiver front ends or transmitter gizmachis. They run the gamut.
And they would be, again, one more time, not micro miniature ICs, but multi-straight ICs?
Monolithic microwave integrated circuits.
Mouthful. Okay. Thank you very much. Gordon, I don't know if already anybody has mentioned, but has it been pointed out again that this coming weekend is the spring ahead for everybody?
No, why don't you talk about it?
No, really not more than I see the bloody calendar that daylight saving time begins on March the 9th. That's this coming weekend. So, springtime, you move your clock ahead 1 hour. And it's just Sunday night. Back to that.
W2JK. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I just happened to borrow a 2007 issue of the ARRL handbook, and it speaks of the, I looked up in the index, and it says monolithic microwave integrated circuits, MMICs, are available for operation at frequencies up to 10 gigahertz. And it says there are exceptions to this generalization. Integrated circuits, despite their short interconnection lengths and lower straight capacity, do not have as high a frequency response as similar circuits built with appropriate discrete components. And then it says there are exceptions to this generalization, of course. Monolithic MMICs are available for operation up to 10 gigahertz. So that's maybe an answer to the question. Back to that.
Yep, absolutely. And just an FYI, I was using Wikipedia's definition, which, you know, as they say, your mileage may vary with that. But there's a lot of cool things you can do with those. So, pardon me. Those of you who heard that little grinding sound know that I have a Anderson PowerPole tool out and putting it to work, putting a connector on a cable that came with a radio I got last weekend. Alrighty, well, thank you for that, and also Tony, thank you for pointing out that we will be losing an hour of sleep on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and hopefully people will plan ahead and do what they gotta do to get some good rest. They tell me that the sleepiest day of the year, other than selected days after New Year's, depending on the day of the week, etc., are
are the Monday after we spring ahead. They tell me that that's a real sleepy time kind of affair for a lot of people. So we shall see. We'll all check off, check our colleagues and our family members come Monday. We'll see how they react come Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday to see how tired they are.
K2KCL repeater.
The thing to remember is that we will also be 4 hours behind UTC. Those of you who have, you know, have differential offsets set in your computers or your radios, etc., keep that in mind as well, that we go from 5 hour differential to 4 hour differential. And that's good to keep in mind as well, because otherwise it gets very confusing. Just a quick reminder about Monday. We have the Aries net here on 7-9, and that'll be at 7:30. You should be prepared to adjust the frequency of your radio. That much I can assure you. If not April, in May, one of the two, we're going to have a meet and greet net where you're actually going to get on the air and get directions to come and meet. So it'll be April or May. We're not real sure yet, but we're looking forward to that as well. And hopefully we'll do that. We're going to try to do a lot of that in the warmer weather to essentially turn the Aries net into a big fat eyeball, subject to a determinate place. I can also suggest that we're going to get a little more rain than people would otherwise like in the next day or so. So please keep that in mind as well, because there might be some low-level flooding in low-lying areas that could cause some need for shelter operations and things like that over the next couple of days. And last but not least, if people would like an email for either this net or for Aries, they would be helping me out if they would just shoot me an email at w2ttt@awrl.net, and I'll capture your email and we'll go from there. We know how to do that from there. And that's pretty much all I have in that regard. Any other questions for the net? Then I have one more subject, W2TTT. Pardon me, K2BAR.
W2KTT, what is an announcement?
Announcement. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, on Friday the 14th, which is a week from tomorrow, the test session is 7 o'clock at the Western Regional High School. Instead of chat with a fellow runs a search and rescue group, and he says that about 5 or 6 of his guys will be coming down for the exam, so we should have a busy session. Back to that, W2JK.
Okay, Don, that's very good. Actually, you probably weren't as aware of it then as you might be now, but your session that you had in December over in Bergenfield was had a few NJSAR and OEM types. We had Stillard, we had Peter, Ryan. Stillard was from Fairlawn CERT, if I remember right. Ryan was from and Peter were from the older Peter, that is, were from NJSAR as well as Scouting Circles. And Rich Sorelli was from Bergenfield OEM. So you had to get a few, actually, and CERT for that matter. So you had a couple of CERT people, a couple of NJSAR folks as well. So that was a good thing. So just out of curiosity, were you contacted by Joe Finnegan, is it? Or did you get contacted by somebody else from NJSAR?
No, Joe Finnegan got in touch with me.
Excellent. If if they don't do well with you and need a retest in a couple of weeks, they will also be testing, I think starting at 6 o'clock, the 1070 is running on April 2nd, Wednesday, April 2nd. And I know that because I was talking to Howie about an Aries presentation at that meeting, which I'll be doing, similar to the one we did at the Bauer meeting. And we'll be engaged in getting them squared away. But they will have a test session. I think their test session is at 6 o'clock. If someone shoots me an email, I can forward you Howie's email, Howie's email address, and you can contact him about that. I'm sure he'll know.
K2BAR, this is KC2BYB.
I know, we had the snowed out the last one in February, and because of the storm, the school was closed, and I know that Squid Rocks had one last Saturday, so our test sessions are around for people that didn't want to get to them, so I don't try to keep track of everybody else's test session, I think. That's why you look the way out of the computer and the internet.
Well, sure, but it's just nice to be able to refer to somebody to a known local session and not have to, use the internet and go over hill and dale. Like, I know when my son James hadn't passed, he subsequently went to Yonkers on a Sunday, which was fine. I mean, that worked out well, too, but... And he had a school thing, going back to Washington kind of thing to motivate him to get it done. Anyway, very good. KC2PYB, thank you, by the way, for relaying information to the 1070 folks, and they did contact me per my previous reference to Howie. Your question, sir?
No question. I was just a comment that I was just confirming your test date time. It's 6 o'clock on April 7th. It's 205 Spring Valley Road in Paramus. First Congregational Church of Paramus, I think is the name on the church. And it's in the basement.
Yep, it was where the Aries meeting was last year, if I recall. And that's pretty much where we are with that. Couple of things. If amateurs are thinking about getting, identifying clothing, et cetera, to function in this and that environment, the OSHA standard for visibility, if you're going to be in any kind of place where there's going to be human traffic mixed with vehicular traffic, you might consider a lime green vest of the type that the ARRL has. It's an NC Class 2 vest for about $20-odd, which is not bad. It's got pockets, things like that. Meets the basic requirements. If you don't have any other kind of identifying vest or anything, that'd be good. Headgear, we've kind of settled on orange. If you have orange headgear, great, from the New York City Marathon or other things, that's great. If you have something else, if you can put orange on it, that would be fine too. But the other thing I can encourage people to do is to get the ARRL ID badges for official emergency stations or emergency coordinator, whatever your position is. That would be helpful as well. The ID badges are orange, although they're available in blue for emergency stations too. I think it's a good idea to consider. Orange, again, it sets you apart from other folks who might be milling around, and these most emergency responders in this area do not use orange. So as a communicator, you might be having another function. You might be wearing a Red Cross vest, a CERT vest, no vest at all, just be an Aries person, OEM, God knows, whatever. But if you have something orange on your head, it kind of distinguishes you and sets you out and makes you identifiable in a crowd, which is useful as well. So that's kind of where we think we're going with that. So anyway, any other comments, questions, confusions on this or other topics, please call K2BAR. Well, I think we've milked the net in 1 hour. Well, actually 58 minutes, or 58 and a half minutes, because, or 57 and a half minutes, I should say, because I was late. Anything else for the net before we secure? Well, last time I did this, we ended up going for another hour. This is K2BAR. Okie doke. Well, I'd like to thank the Bergen County FM Association for the use of their repeater tonight, as we also used this repeater on Wednesday night for the Barra ChatNet, and that seems to be hosted by N2OEL these days, if I got that right from last night. And I also like to thank them for the use of their 444-100 repeater, I think it is now, and Ben KF2ID, I think, is now the net control for that. Since I think Kid Knight has been swapped with him and Noel, I think that's what's going on there. Not real sure. And of course, Barra offers also a net on Monday night on 28350, hosted by K2ZO. And we hope that anyone with 10-meter privileges joins us there as well. That's a lot of fun. This has been the March 6th session of the TechNet for Barra, and we thank you all for participating. And I'm a little choked up with my throat a little bit, but from the respiratory flu, but I'm getting better day by day, so this is a good thing. So I'd like to thank KC2AWX, K2ZO, KC2PYB, KC2SKP, KC2SDF, KO2OK, KO2BDU, KC2KXZ, K2DSL, KC2SKL, N3CRT, NS2K, WA2CAI, W2JEK, WITW, W2DTA, KC2SNR, and above all, and our beloved K2AMI, securing net this time. And Charlie, if you could hang around for after the net, I'd appreciate it. K2BAR, this is W2TTT, off and clear, and signing, returning the repeater to normal amateur use.